Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Welcome to our service today. I invite you to stand and sing for an opening hymn number 235 in the Black Hymnal, the Church and Sunday School Hymnal. Number 235, Jesus Paid It All.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service today. In celebrating communion, our order is a little different, and this is going to be our sharing time now. So if there's something you'd like to share, you can raise your hand and they'll bring a microphone to you.
Just a reminder to continue to remember Cheryl Fisher. She is undergoing treatment and having some side effects as a result of that and is rather uncomfortable much of the time. So let's remember to keep her in our prayers. Thank you.
Two things. Hayden's adoption is very, very close. We were hoping to have the paperwork by Saturday to sign so that October the 12th would have been in the court for adoption, but that didn't happen, so it's going to be pushed back. And also remember Autumn as she goes to Uganda in a couple of weeks.
Morning. I have a visitor with me. She lives at Landis Homes. She's a friend of mine. Her name is Mildred Schellenberger. So I am mentioning this now that I won't have to introduce her for everyone.
Welcome, Mildred.
This is Ruthie. It's a long way off to think of Bible school again. I know it's, just till June. But we had to make some changes because of graduations. We were running into, the Friday nights, which just wasn't working. So just pray for the committee as we figure out. Yeah, so we can hopefully get more kids there again because it was starting to affect the attendance and stuff. So just pray for us.
Okay, please pray with me. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing each one of us here. Thank you for this special occasion of communion, and I ask that you bless our service as we share that together. We pray for Cheryl Fisher. God, we pray that you would bring comfort to her in the midst of her physical challenges. We pray, if it be your will, we pray for healing in her life. Bless her family. Thank you that Hayden's adoption is nearing, and we pray that that would happen soon if possible. And we just ask for your blessing on the Souter family in that. We pray for Autumn as she prepares to go to Uganda, and ask that you would provide everything that is needed, and just bless her as she goes and her relationships there and how she serves. We commit that time to you. Thank you for Mildred and other visitors among us. We pray, God, that this would be a place where we care for one another well, that we are welcoming and loving. Please be in our midst, God. Thank you for Ruthie's continued work and efforts with the Vacation Bible School Planning Committee. Thank you for all that goes into trying to make a special time geared towards children and young people that points them to you, God. And I pray that you give them wisdom, encouragement as they make decisions. And we ask for your favor and blessing on that outreach effort, and that many would be pointed to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." So, I really like the wording of that, to be imitators of God. It involves action on our part. It kind of pushes us to do something. And it kind of makes me think, how do you imitate someone that you have never seen? Well, luckily for us, God gave Jesus as an example of him and how he would live on earth. So one of the ways we can be imitators of him is to act the way Jesus did. One of the things Jesus did was wash his disciples' feet. Today, with communion, we will be washing the feet of our brothers and sisters today. So I think it's kind of one of the ways that we as a church kind of work towards being imitators of God, and I like that. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for everyone here this morning, God, that we can just come together, God, and worship you, God. And I pray that we would just really think about our actions and the service today, God, that we can just really think about what we're doing and why we're doing it, God. And I pray that we can just learn to be imitators of you, God, that we can live and love others, God, and to show your grace and your mercy to those around us, God. I pray that you just bless this offering in the hands that gave it. In your name, amen.
Mission minute this morning, I'm going to give you some dates and events that are coming up that you can be involved in. You don't need to go far. They're all local. First being October 13. Maybe it doesn't pertain to all of you, but it's a Adamstown BKCX Treasure Hunt Fall Festival. It's held at the Adamstown Y. Typically, it's for preschool to fifth grade, but if I'm not mistaken, this one is a family affair, so The whole family can go to it. The second one is October 20, 9 a.m. to 11. It's called Friends of VMM. You'll have a brochure in your mailboxes. It's a meeting that Easter Mennonite Mission puts on, telling stories of things that are happening around the world that the missionaries are doing, as well as how people can be involved in the effort to sponsor, to send, and even go on mission trips. It's for all ages. If you have children, they have babysitting. So it's, everyone can attend. The third one is October 27 at the Adamstown Park. Our church is going to hold a fall festival, and that's for families of all ages. It's going to be sort of carnival-type games, so we'll need some help for people to run the games and to meet the folks that come. And also invite, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a flyer maybe next week in your mailboxes to explain a little bit more about October 27th. The third one is November 3, 6:30 p.m. It's called The Gift of Presence, which is on the opposite side of the flyer. It's EMM's vision and banquet. It's a fundraiser for Easter Mennonite Mission, and also it tells of their work and their vision for the future. Last of all is November 17. It's the Saturday of our spiritual renewal services. Saturday in the afternoon, we're going to pack shoeboxes for the Samaritan Purse Christmas shoebox drive. And after we pack the shoeboxes, then we'll have a light supper before the evening services. In the future, I'll have some papers in the back that tell what can go in the shoeboxes. And so you can get all the stuff to go in one shoebox, or you can get a lot of one particular thing, and we'll share the whole pile, and then we'll fill boxes from different piles to make sure that the children each get different things. So hopefully some of these will get in the bulletin so that you don't have to remember them all, but there's also flyers in the back and in your mailboxes. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl, and others who are involved in all those things. I appreciate your efforts and look forward to them. Today's special in some other ways. It's the first Sunday of a month, so that means a fellowship meal here at Gaiman's. And at least for most people, that means something good. Maybe if you're the one who has to make the food, maybe it's like a fellowship meal, or I'm not sure. But we've also been doing monthly themes, so this is kind of a new month, and so we're trying to connect with another theme. And in your bulletin, you can look at that, and there's a theme verse under our mission, our vision statement. Let's walk with Jesus personally, locally, and globally. Let's read that verse below that together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. So when you think about, you know, a fellowship meal, there's usually lots of variety of food, and sometimes you are thinking, I'm not sure about that dish, but I'll taste it and see if it's good. And I thought about that as, you know, we'll be doing that, many of us, in a little while here. Certainly in a more significant way, Scripture and Jesus invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good. It's kind of an invitation to us to go ahead and try me and see if I'm not good in your life. In the book of John, the first chapter, there's two short encounters that kind of have this same invitational element to them. The words used are "come and see," but it's kind of that same idea of check it out. You know, put some trust in me and see if I'm not good. In John 1, 35 to 39, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When two of the disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." And that was an invitation for them to begin following him. Just a few verses down, verse 44, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Each of us in our own lives, I think that invitation continues wherever we're at in our spiritual journey to taste and see that God is good. Take a step further in your faith. See if I'm not trustworthy. I'd invite you, if you have a Bible or a device or something, to look up 1 Corinthians, or the Bible's in the pew racks, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 29. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29. These are some verses that are often read during a time of communion. And the context of this scripture is actually kind of a rebuke. He's basically telling their church that they're not doing a great job of having communion, and you're mixing up your priorities. And then he begins in verse 23 to say kind of the basics, the foundation of why you do communion and what's important. And there are kind of three directions or three areas that we are to look to. Let me read, and I invite you to follow along in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29. "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." There are three kind of directions he invites us to look. The first is to look back. It says a couple times to do this in remembrance of me. It's written on this table up front here, the communion table. in remembrance of me. We're to look back when we have communion and say, what's this about? It's about Jesus' body being broken on the cross. It's about His blood being shed. That's part of what we are doing today, remembering what Jesus did. If I generally don't put stickers on my vehicles, but if I were to put an evangelical sticker or a sticker about faith on my car, I think it would just say, "Thank you, Jesus." And I think that's part of what we are saying today, or I hope that's part of what is in our minds as we share communion together. Thank you, Jesus. So we're to look back. He also tells us in this scripture to look ahead. He says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Until He comes. So we're looking ahead. He will come again. Jesus will come again. And part of what we're doing in communion is looking ahead to that. There's a song in our Mennonite hymnal. We're not going to sing it, but I invite you to turn to number 409 in the reddish-brown hymnal. 409. I just really like the words of this. I'd like to read the first two verses. It includes both looking back and looking ahead. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the memory adored and show the death of our dear Lord until He come. His body broken in our stead is shown in this memorial bread, and so our feeble love is fed until He comes. We look back, we look ahead. And the other place this scripture encourages us to look is to look within. It says everyone ought to examine themselves. Again, in the Mennonite hymnal, I'd invite you to turn towards the back, number 726. I found what is titled there, 726, A Pledge of Faith and Love in Preparation for the Lord's Supper. And I appreciated some of this language also. We might not say it in words exactly like this, but these ideas I think are important as we think about sharing communion together. And if these words would be true of you and your heart, I invite you to be kind of saying them to yourself or saying them to the Lord in your heart. We join in voicing our trust in God as our Father, in Christ as our Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as our divine strengthener. We acknowledge our inclination to sin. Last month's song was Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, and that phrase, prone to wander, comes to mind. We acknowledge our inclination to sin, both in what we do and in what we leave undone. We ask for divine forgiveness for all our failure to glorify our Father, and we pledge ourselves to forsake and disown all conduct and attitudes which are unworthy of Christ. We share this communion together as a part of a family of believers. So we declare our love for the church, our beliefs in her principles, and our desire to practice them in all of life. We pledge to the church our support in prayers, counsel, and gifts so that she might become stronger in both her inward life and her outward witness. We strive by God's grace to remove from our lives all unlove and cause of disharmony so that our mutual love may lead men to know true discipleship. We engage to watch over one another with Christian discernment to counsel those who are weak and to seek in meekness to restore all who fall. We will give ourselves to self-examination in preparation for the Lord's Supper, so that the Lord's table may be honored and that we who gather around it by faith eat and drink richly of Christ. So in sharing communion, we want to look back to the cross, to what He did. We want to look ahead that He's coming again in worship. And we also look within, acknowledging that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And if God brings something to your heart that isn't right between you and the Lord or you and someone else, communion is an ideal time to make that right. To make a commitment to the Lord, a recommitment to Christ, maybe make a relationship right with someone else or with Him. Look back to the cross in thankfulness. Look ahead to His return in worship. And look within in confession to make things right. Please pray with me. Father, we come this morning and we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what this bread and cup represent and for your example of servant leadership in washing feet. We worship you looking ahead that you will come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God, we look within, acknowledging that we have each sinned and turned away from you. Please forgive us and help us in our relationships to love you and to love others. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite the ministry team to come forward at this time to help. And as we prepare for communion and foot washing, we invite all followers of our Lord Jesus Christ to thoughtfully participate in this special remembrance of our Lord and how He gave Himself for us. If something or parts of it are unfamiliar, feel free to ask questions or just observe. We want you to celebrate this while at the same time approach communion with humble, repentant hearts. As is our practice, we'll pass all the elements and we'll kind of hold on to those elements until we all have received them, and then we'll partake them together. So we'll begin with the bread. took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I invite you to repeat after me, "The body of Christ, broken for me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Please repeat after me, "The blood of Christ, shed for me." Thank you. who are assisting with helping to get foot washing preparations done or dismissed. And as Chad said earlier, Jesus's example to us, our call to imitate and to follow him. We read this in John 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." I invite you to turn in your hymnals to number 554. 554. And our leader will lead us in this song. Thank you. So Jesus taught us that the greatest among you will be your servant, and that He is among us as one who serves, and that He's given us this example that we should do as He did. Foot washing will take place at, normally how we have here, the women in the basement, men upstairs, and anyone who would rather do hand washing, that will be in the church office. And we'll return here, and we'll have a time of singing and worship and song, and our closing then. So you're dismissed for foot washing at this time.
Thank you. that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Father, we thank you. You are alive. Jesus, you've risen from the dead. You've paid a debt that we could not pay. All our hope is in you. God, you are a good, good Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead.